Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for St. Paul, who in dealing with this church that had many issues in Corinth, that he wanted them to understand who they are as children of the living God, but also how they live in this kingdom of God together. What it means to be part of your body. What it means to value life as a gift. Lord, help us this day to understand how it applies to us who are part of your body this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here again, these very important words. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, again, we're in the third week of our series, Truth Revealed. And this, we've covered a lot. We talked about holy baptism, remember the importance of it, how this is the only baptism that we receive, and it is sufficient. It has everything we need. Then we talked again about the gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit, pouring out of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever word you want to use. For some, it was a great experience. For others, it was a gradual and amazing growing as in sanctification as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Today, we want to talk about two things that when I was first thinking of this series, I was thinking about how Paul was dealing with the church in Corinth, and I was applying it to the fact that from chapter 10 on, he's talking about the importance of unity. Unity in the body, how if one part of the body suffers, the other part. And I was thinking of all the great illustrations I could use. For example, when it talks about the foot should say to the hand, you know, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand. And I was thinking about when I was in the military and I was on the drill team. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's where you march. And and we were competing. And I'll never forget, there was one competition. It was up in this place called Cold Lake, Alberta. And I was in the drill team competition. And for some reason, I don't know, but we had these thick wool socks. I don't know if you've ever, you know, they're gray. You know, I don't see them much anymore, but I'm sure they're out there. I never wore them very much because they bothered me. But I wore them when I marched because you needed that, you know, in those parade boots. And so, for whatever reason, I had this little tiny, tiny little speck of gravel. It was just tiny little speck. Never noticed it. But if you've ever watched people march, at least in the Canadian military, we always lead with our right foot. And it happened to be at the back of my right foot. And every time we come to attention, every time we stand at ease, we always move our foot. And if you're doing a cadence, you're putting pressure on that to make the sound, okay? Because that's what makes the sound. And I'll tell you, by the end of that, that little tiny bit of gravel was a lot bigger than you think it was. It felt really painful. So I was thinking, you know, how can we talk about the fact that if one part suffers, all suffer, right? We know that, right? If one part of our body suffers, all parts suffer. If one part is honored, we rejoice because all are honored. But then the Lord gave me a word, and it was really interesting because as I was preparing for this, he gave me a word, and he said, this is bigger than you think. And I was like, okay. That got my attention. What I believe the Lord told me is he said, I want you to deal with the two problems that Paul is dealing with here because they are a great example of what your country is going through right now. And the two things he's dealing with is he's dealing with the problem of individualism, where basically you do things that you want, you do things that benefit you, you think about you more than you think about others, right? He's dealing with individualism where, you know, either you're feeling sorry for yourself because you're not like someone else, or you bring someone else down because you think that somehow you need to be like them. And so you bring them down to your level, right? Individualism. And the other one is the value for life as a gift. The value for life. And it was interesting because the Lord impressed it upon me, and I was thinking about it on Wednesday, and I was questioning whether I should bring it up. And then we had our prayer service on Wednesday, and he really put it on my heart to bring it up. He said, you got two political parties and you've got two extremes. You got one that's rabid individualism that basically, and I mean, I heard a candidate for this party the last round before this one say, you know, you have to get to a point where if someone's on drugs and they're, you know, because basically libertarianism, if somebody's on drugs and they're passed out, you got to learn how to walk over them and don't care. I heard that from a guy whose last name was Paul. Anyways, on the other side, you got people who, if you take a stand for the sanctity of life, can't get elected. They can't be the leader of their party. There's no value for life. Everything is pro-choice. You got one extreme and you got another. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. I understand that. But this is the reality of our world we live in, isn't it? You got two extremes. You got rabid individualism that says, basically, your rights are more important. You basically have the right to do whatever you want. And on the other hand, you have no value for life. And I'll tell you, each extreme is dangerous. You want to know why? Look at what St. Paul had to say. Each extreme is dangerous because if you don't value life, then how can you value each individual and what they have and what they bring to the table and what their gifts are? How can you do that if you don't value the basic gift of life? But if you're too individualistic, you think you can do it on your own. You don't need anybody. That makes sense? See the problem? And I hesitated to talk about this because nobody wants to get political. Nobody wants to be, you know, and I can tell you right now, because of the rules the U.S. government has, I can't vote because I still have a green card. So I'm not saying which way you ought to vote because I can't. But I'm just telling you, you got two extremes here. And neither extreme is good. Because one, and Jesus figured this out. Just look at the story of Jesus. Look at the story of Jesus. He goes to Nazareth. He gets to Nazareth. He does what he customarily does. He goes into the synagogue, and he gets handed the scroll from Isaiah. He reads the scroll standing, right? That's, you know, he stands up, he reads the scroll, and then he sits down in the teacher's seat, the place where you're going to be taught from. And he sits down, and he starts to tell them, and they're all enamored with him because he's telling them stuff they agree with, right? Isn't that awesome? They're just excited about what he's saying. They're all enamored with what he's saying. They're just, you can just imagine he's teaching and they're just on every word. And then someone, who I believe was inspired by Satan, says this: "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Isn't that Joseph's son? The carpenter? Remember him? He know better than us. I don't think it's that. I think it's that he's just like them. And he's kind of getting exalted because he's teaching and people are looking at him and someone got jealous. I really believe that. It doesn't say that here, but I believe somebody got jealous and they said, he's not that important. Yeah. We went to school with him. We were in rabbinical school. I mean, he's just one of us. Don't get thinking that he's this big shot. He's just Joseph's son. He's a carpenter's son. He's nothing. And then Jesus, oh man, when you're a prophet and you have to tell people the truth, it is painful. I've gone through this in my ministry. It's painful. So what does he say? He says, I want to tell you something. No prophet is acceptable in his own hometown. And to make the point, see, this is the problem with preachers, is they always got to make examples, right? I always give you examples, got to tell you a story. So what does he do? He says, and by the way, there were a lot of widows around in Elijah's time, but yet none of them got to host Elijah in Israel. He got sent to Zarephath in Sidon. And by the way, there was tons of people with leprosy in the time of Elisha, and yet only Naaman, the Syrian, got healed. You see the problem? He just did one of those, what I did before, you know, told the truth. Scary. And what did they do? Yeah, tried to kill him. Went from admiration to what? Wrath. They dragged him out to the cliff and we're going to throw him over. I still want to ask when I get to heaven is, what did you do to walk through him? I want to know what he did. Because that's all it says is just, he walked right through him and went on his way, right? I want to figure out how he did that. But he's God, so hey, whatever. But I just want to share with you that we have are called to value life as a gift. To say to people that say that killing babies is not sinful, to say to them, you're wrong. To those who don't value life, to say to them, you're wrong. To those who are on the other side and say, well, you know, you can do whatever you want and you just got to walk over someone to get there. You're wrong. Because the truth of what God has done in making us his body is that he values every single individual person. And you don't have to put someone down in order to make yourself feel better. You can, what God wants to do is he wants to honor all of us. He wants to show his glory in all of us. He wants to show people how precious each one of us are. He wants to say to each one of us, you are valuable. I gave you life and I've given you these gifts, and it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, he lists those gifts, right? He lists apostle, prophet, teacher, healer, right? Administrator, mercy giver. I mean, there's like a ton of gifts that he gives to us. And it's easy in our worldly, if we're on this side, on the individualism side, to say, I want to be the apostle. The first one, right? I want to have it all my way. I want to be able to boss people around. I want to be in charge. Isn't that maybe some of you aren't like that. But that's you know, okay. On the other side, you could be there and you could say, well, I only have a gift of mercy. I'm just a small one. And yet the Lord turns it around and says, he who is least among you will be what? And he turns to the widow's mite when the widow is giving her mites, right? And he says to what? He says, the rich guy gave out of his abundance and she gave out of her poverty, and who is going to be blessed more? The one who gave out of her poverty. You see, Jesus always wants to turn things around on us. And he wants us to understand that he values life as a gift. No exceptions. No one has a right to take life. I'm sorry this goes against Roe versus Wade and it goes against all this stuff. I don't care. It's the truth of Scripture, and that is the truth, and I can't change that. Otherwise, also, what does St. Paul say? He says, if one suffers, all suffer. If one is honored, all rejoice. So what does that tell us? Can we be rabid individualists? Not in the body of Christ. Pardon me? Unfortunately. Yeah, it's a lot easier in this day and age with social networking and all these things to really think that we can do it on our own. I mean, I tried to speak into someone's life not too long ago who was a friend of mine on Facebook. I have lots of friends because I don't turn anybody down, you know, pretty much. I started trying to speak into someone's life, and you know what they did? Unfriended me. I didn't even know you could do that. Because they didn't want to hear what I had to say. They wanted me to have access. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. But you know, that's the world we live in. We think we're kind of part of a world community and we got all this, you know, we're all part of this wonderful Facebook world or whatever you use. And in reality, we're very individualistic. We love the fact that we can control everything. I want to close today by inviting Wendy to share. Wendy has the gift of mercy. She's on the far end of the spectrum from me. She's the behind-the-scenes person. And she, last week, I don't know, I gave an invitation. I said, if anybody wants to share their experience with the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know, how it happened with them, that they should come and talk to me. Well, Wendy offered. So I know we're running. We only have like a few minutes. But Wendy, would you share with us, please, if I bring the microphone to you? Okay, thank you. I know, you told me this morning to, well, I won't tell you what they, anyway.
I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience, my personal experience with being filled with the Holy Spirit, just to make it less mysterious. You know, some people don't understand it very well. And as many people as there are different experiences with the Holy Spirit. It's like God works individually in everyone in a different way. Mm-hmm. I didn't share this morning, but I always knew somehow that I was supposed to be here because I was not supposed to live when I was born. I weighed 2.5 pounds, and the doctors told my dad to go home because I wouldn't live through the night. He didn't stay. They had no hope that I would live. It was too, you know, 2.5 pounds is big now, but it wasn't then. So I sort of always knew God had his hand on me, but I didn't get introduced to God until I came. I had a praying grandmother. Thank you, grandmother.
They're dangerous.
Yes. and I came to the University of Michigan as a junior and was introduced to the Lord there. I had a roommate in my senior year who was part of a ULC, actually. It's a really traditional, well, at the time it was very traditional, Lutheran church with hymns and all that, and liturgy and all that stuff. And I had never heard it, but it was beautiful to me. And that's what God used to draw me, the initial thing that he used. And then I was also introduced to some other people who had some manifestations of the Holy Spirit that I had never seen them before. And my first introduction, I said, these people are nuts. You know, they are crazy. This is nuts. Where did they get off, you know? but I saw something in their lives. I was friends with some of the people who took me there, and I saw things in their life that I wanted. And so I didn't give up on it. But the way the Holy Spirit worked in me was very, very, very slowly, like one little step at a time. And the Holy Spirit taught me and wooed me. And after a while, that weird stuff was not so weird, you know? And the thing that he wanted from me was a willing heart. That's all he wanted. Was a willing heart. And even if I was afraid, I could say that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm afraid. And when I was first prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit, I didn't experience really anything. I didn't want to tell anybody I didn't experience anything because I thought there was something wrong with me. but some of those things came later, you know, that people prayed for that day. God just introduced them slowly because he knew I couldn't take it all at once. Mm-hmm. That's just not who I was. But all God asks of us and all the Holy Spirit asks of us is a willing heart. Mm-hmm. He wants our heart. Mm-hmm. And it's not really scary like it was to me at first. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Because life is richer. So I just want to encourage everybody to ask for more. Yep. It's okay to ask for more every day.
Awesome. Good. Thanks. Thank you, Wendy. Like I said, Wendy's the behind the scenes, the quiet servant, mercy giver, all those things. And so I just really appreciate her as a fellow member of the body of Christ. And you can see when one suffers, all suffer. When one is honored, all rejoice.